Let's get back to our Bible study on seeing the answer. Faith sees the answer. So open up to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And the last Wednesday we talked about seeing the answer. Now we're going to talk about where faith actually contradicts circumstances. There's a saying that gets floated around a lot. You'll ask somebody how they're doing, they'll say, under the circumstances, I'm doing all right. If you're born again, you are not to be living under the circumstances. You've been placed above the circumstances. Remember, we've read this before where it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you're walking by the way things look, you'll have a hard time. Because I'll tell you, the devil will paint the ugliest, nastiest picture for you to look at. And you'll say, ah, this can't be done. This is impossible. The economy's a mess. Ah, we can't do this. You know, he really painted an ugly picture for me when I came down here. I came down here to look at this church. They asked me to come down here to look at this place. And you got to understand where we lived in Wyoming. I had been living on that scripture where God would make me lie down beside still waters, lay down in green pastures beside still waters. And where we lived, the grass was just completely crazy. And the clover was completely out of control. You could just lose cows out there. And it was just abundance. It was wonderful. And they came down here, and if it wasn't black, it was brown. And I thought, oh my God. It looked like a bomb went off. It really did. It looked like a war zone. And I went home and I thought, oh Lord, this is exactly what I, after quite a while, I went to work. I left the house, went through the gate, got on the road. And I remember this just clear as it is today. I said, God, I finally got myself where I'm in the blessing. We've got our own house. We've got a nice place to live. I got a nice job. I got a wonderful church. He said, son, the blessing is inside you. Okay. So I spent a lot of time praying in tongues, and then he was talking to me about this and how it was going to be okay, and then we got to see some wonderful events happen. But the devil had the nastiest picture of this place. And I had no idea how beautiful it could be and how wonderful it could be. And now it's like every day, this is the land of opportunity. This is the land of abundance. This is a land of plenty. It's a wonderful place. But you got to get your blinders on. Remember, you walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Are we boldly saying that the Lord is our helper? Are we honestly boldly saying that the Lord is our helper? That is what we should be saying. Unfortunately, that's not the case with a lot of the world. That's not the case with a lot of the church world. You know, Joseph. He was an interesting fella. You know what? He was in jail in a foreign land without any clothes, without any money, without any contacts, in a land that he didn't know the language. He didn't know anybody. He had no prospects, but he considered himself a successful man because God was with him. He considered himself a successful man because God was with him. And look what happened. He ended up being second only to the Pharaoh. That's the thing. No matter what you have, no matter what you don't have, as long as you have God with you, you have everything. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. I love that song. The God on the mountaintop, he's still God in the valley. No matter how bad it may look, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, somebody told me once, said, you know, look at these challenges as an opportunity to see your faith in action and see God do mighty things. We got to say what he said. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper. We got to quit saying the wrong thing. Start saying the right thing. You know, I've actually talked to people in this town and said, God has nothing to do with me. He doesn't hear my prayers. I don't think he even cares about me. I've actually heard people say that. That's from not spending any time in here. You have to understand, God is not your problem. He's on your side. People, I seen this interesting picture one time of this great big lion laying on the ground sleeping. And this monkey with a stick is sneaking up on this lion to poke this lion with that stick. That's how people are. They have this knack of causing themselves their own misery. Amen. Yeah, but far too often people blame God for it. Look at let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 24. The one thing I want you to understand is that faith will say the answer. Remember, Jesus told us to talk to our mountains. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 24. This is a verse that I rely on a lot. It says, the Lord shall make the rain on thy land powder, and dust from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. This is part of the curse. How do you suppose that happens? How do you suppose you could turn rain into powder in the dust here? By walking around calling this place a desert. Walking around saying, oh, it just never rains. You know, people talk their reality into existence. See, they have faith in reverse when they're saying that. You know, wouldn't it be just as easy to call this place a living, wonderful, grass flowing, water flowing place? Full of fat cows, green pastures. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, I understand that people used to catch fish in these streams. I talked to some of the old timers here. They said they used to, when they were kids, they used to catch fish in Swallow Creek. They'd catch fish in Olympia Creek. Huh?
We did when my nephews were little.
Yeah. Those streams used to flow all the time. Faith says the answer. Now, see, whenever there's something bad, there's always something right. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. What would be so hard about that? The Lord shall open up his good treasure and give ye rain in season. Amen. But you're going to have to line your tongue up with the Word of God. Real faith in the Word says that if God says it is so, then it is so. If He says that by His stripes you were healed, then you were healed. If He says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then that is the way it is. Philippians 4:19. You know, how do we appropriate these promises? See, you notice you can say these things over and over and over again, but Jesus gave us a really, really good clue when he got to Lazarus' tomb. He said, "Thank you, Father." You know, you remember when he was going to feed the multitudes, he blessed it. He said, "Thank you, Father," and miracles. So why can't we just say, "Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus"? Remember, he's already given it to you. And we keep asking for it. Why don't we just thank him for it? Amen? Yeah. The Lord is the strength of my life. Thank you for being the strength of my life. How many of us need strength? Every single one of us. Every day. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Sometimes we get so focused on the mountain that we get sidetracked. People are like cats. You know, the cat sees something shiny over here. You can be playing with me. You see something shiny over there. The cat goes over that thing shiny. He lost his attention. People are the same way. We have all these distractions. All these distractions. And have you ever noticed the lion tamers? You know, the lion tamer, he really not a match for a lion. That lion could chew him up in a heartbeat. But that lion has this stool with these four legs on there and this whip. And you put that in front of that lion and that whip, And he keeps that lion distracted because there's all these different little points of interest. So that lion doesn't focus on him. He's got all these distractions. The devil knows that if he can keep you distracted, you're not going to be able to focus on the answer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Because Jesus is our high priest and sits at the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession for us, we can have the answers to our petitions right now. Remember, the Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, sometimes people get so preoccupied with their own faith that it becomes a stumbling block. Remember, it said to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our faith comes from. When we look unto him, we see him in his grace, faith is going to happen in your heart. When you're focused on him, you're focused on his word, faith comes easy. It's not a challenge. However, if you're focused on your own ability, it is a challenge. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We're back to these directions that Jesus gave us. Remember, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." It isn't a matter of faith going out of your heart towards God without you saying something, nothing's going to happen. Without your saying anything, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to say something. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that faith kept only in your heart will never bring healing to your body. Every time God did something notable with somebody in the Bible, we'll just take Abraham for example. Every time he did something notable with somebody, he changed their vocabulary. What did he do? He got a hold of their tongue. Well, how did he get a hold of Abraham's tongue? Abraham's name wasn't always Abraham. It used to be Abram. And God changed his name to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. He hadn't had a kid yet. But he knew Isaac was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to have a kid, a promised kid from God. But God had to change his name and start getting him to start speaking things into existence. Start calling things that weren't as though they were. So Abraham had to walk around calling himself the father of many nations. He had to call himself that for a long time. Even though he didn't have a kid. Was he lying? No. No, he was calling things that weren't as though they were. He was using God's word to call his reality into existence. Now, if you feel like a stomped on rat and you walk around saying, "By his stripes I was healed," are you lying? No. No. That's the truth. It may be a natural fact that you don't feel good, but the truth is you were healed. It may be a natural fact that you don't have two pennies to rub together, but the truth is you've been made rich through Jesus' poverty. Yeah. What we're doing is we're changing our reality with the Word of God. You've already done that. If you're born again, you changed your reality. Remember when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? What just happened? You changed your reality. You were one way, one minute, and a completely different creature the next minute. You changed your reality with the words of your mouth. It's that easy. It's not name it and claim it. It's the word of faith, which we preach. It's the word of faith, which we preach. Thank God for name it and claim it, because that's how you got born again. Amen. The word of faith got dragged through the mud from a couple different angles. People that didn't understand what was going on, number one. And number two, people that were being lunatics. Twisting the scriptures and trying to get something that wasn't in the Bible. Amen. But the word of faith is always going to call things that aren't as though they are. And always remember this, when you're running around quoting these scriptures, you're not changing God. You're not twisting his arm. You're not going to put him in a position where he has to do something. What you're doing is you're changing you. You're changing you with the words of your own mouth when you start speaking the words of God. You walk around calling yourself a successful man. Eventually, you're going to be a successful man. You walk around calling yourself prospered and blessed because of what Jesus did. Eventually, you're going to be prospered and blessed. But it's not because you finally bent God's ear enough to cause him to do something. What you did is you fed yourself the word of God enough to change your heart where you had the ability to receive something. You're not going to change God. He changes not. We change. We change. Remember, he's the potter. We're the clay, he's the potter. He needs just a little bit of cooperation from us. And one thing that he said is to meditate on his word. Day and night. He gave us these clues all through the Bible. He showed us, talk to your mountain. Don't run around talking about your mountain. Talk to your mountain. Your mountain could be sickness, your mountain could be poverty, your mountain could be any number of things. Whatever your big challenge in life is, that's your mountain. And he said to talk to it. Amen. We're not even going to get the next part, the faith in action. Or we're not even going to get warmed up on it. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly true of what happened when I was a new Christian, basically. I went to Guatemala and I bought a one-way ticket. I didn't have any place that I was going except that I was going to meet up with my pastor there. He was with Wireman. And had a word from God. And it was Dick Mills who gave me the word. They were a bit wrong. Out of the Like, it was like a big, like,
what? Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. So anyway, I started making steps going down to Guatemala. And money was provided, passport. I went down there and got off the plane, didn't speak Spanish. Asked the taxi cab driver to take me to a hotel where there are Americans there. Thomas was the name of the young man that started the churches. And he received the gift of Spanish at the age of 16. And spoke perfect Spanish. He was called forward to preach to Latin, Latin America. So God gave him the gift of Spanish.
Yeah.
Down there for 4 months, Easter weekend shows up, and everything shuts down. His ministry was on the university campuses. My ministry was hanging on tracks as he was playing music, singing like amazing in Spanish, and then preaching to the crowds that he would gather. And it was he had an amazing ministry going. And anyway, we had a young men's fellowship house where I was living in, and there were other young men there, and we were part of the missionary group. And during Easter week, everything shut down, so we're out there playing basketball in the street with a bunch of kids. And I'm up in the air, running up and down the court. And I jumped up in the air to block a shot, came down and snapped my ankle. Non-compound fracture. Blood soaking through my sock. And I started to panic. Here I am in Guatemala. Compound fracture. What am I going to do? Well, Diego Thomas comes up to me and starts talking and says, what happened? And I said, I think I broke my ankle. And he gets up, backs off, puts his hands on his hip, and looks at me with a strange look and says, don't be confessing that. I looked at him like, I'm on the ground, hyperventilating almost, sweating. I looked at him, I said, what are you talking about? And he said, don't be confessing that. And he started to share a testimony with me about a broken ankle that he actually had skiing. And God healed him of this compound fracture on a skiing trip. I looked at him, I thought he was making the story up. I really did. I just didn't know what to believe. I mean, my faith was so new.
Yeah.
But what he did was he confronted that confession.
Yeah.
And with disgust. And I looked at him, and I still, in my heart, go, that's a faith level. I just, this is the guy that received Spanish as a kid. So, what's a broken ankle to God? Is what he said.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, his faith kind of injected into me, I guess.
Yeah.
And I did exactly what you did, what you said earlier. I gave thanks.
Yeah.
I said, thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I didn't know what was coming out of my mouth. It was like, oh my gosh. And they said, well, let's take you to the hospital. So they took me to a state-run hospital. Blood just soaking through my sock. I had basketball socks. Swollen ankles, swelling. And I didn't have the faith to get up and walk, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I got to the state-run hospital where it doesn't cost any money. We didn't have any money. Well, you go into this, it's a hangar. It's an airport hangar converted into a hospital. We go to the front door and there's dead people on the side of the just people died and they're ready to go get buried somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? I mean, it was this battle that was going on in my mind, kept thanking God for opportunities, believing that, you know, it was healed. God, what's a broken ankle to God? I kept confessing that and speaking in tongues. And I didn't know much about that, you know. And anyway, got to the hospital. Get on a gurney. Nurse comes in, takes my sock off. And she happened to be doing an internship from America, so she spoke English. And she pulls my sock down and says, what's that here? I said, well, it looks like a compound fracture, but God healed me of it. And you could see where the bone had come through the skin. And she just started chuckling. Okay, we'll see. We're taking x-rays here in a few minutes. And so they took x-rays. While we're in the waiting room, these guys that I'm with are going around witnessing two other patients praying for them and stuff. And I'm going, oh my God, this is incredible, you know. But these doctors come up, neither one of them spoke English, two doctors. They're poking on my ankle, you know, looking at the x-rays going, it's not broke. Shaking their head. And the nurse was like,
yeah.
And that is exactly how it happened. He confronted my confession. I gave thanks. You know, I've tried to duplicate that now in my life, and it's not easily done.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that faith, though, that he had somehow was, you know, given to me.
Yeah, faith is contagious. Faith is contagious.
So,
yeah.
And I said, well, it's happened to you, and it's happened to me before, and you know, this and that. I'm going, well, what is a broken ankle about?
Yeah. Yeah. Faith is contagious.
He did. He
yeah.
Long story.
No, that's a good one. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Yeah. Yeah. I got a really fun one. Before we moved down here, I spent a lot of time in Oldfield praying in tongues about this move, and God said, we're going to have a party, you know. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to survive. So we're going to have a party. That's all he could talk about, was the party we was going to have. And I'd run around praying and praying and praying and praying, and he's telling me all about this party we was going to have. Okay, you know, go get a pig somewhere, some deer. You know, I'm thinking, you know. And he said, it's going to be a big party. We're going to invite everybody that wants to come. Okay, so we're going to get several deer and several pigs. And we keep going. And anyway, I started telling people about this party. We're going to have this party. And I'm still wondering about these deer and pigs, whatever, you know. Well, I had... my stud horse was in this one little pen, you know. And the neighbor had a whole bunch of goats. And I sat here and watched this whole procession. These goats, 40 head of goats, just left the bunch. And they went over there, they crawled through the fence, they marched right up, they crawled through the gate, and marched right in front of me. I was standing like this. The gate was right here to my stud. And every one of them, 40 head of goats, come walking right in front of me, crawled under the gate, right in front of me, got in the pen with my stud. And the neighbor come over there and said, you want to buy some goats? I said, I don't know. Let me go ask somebody about goats. I don't know nothing about no goats. And so I went and asked somebody. They said, yeah, I'll do that. So I went back and I said, yeah, how much you want for them? He told me, you know, anyway, I said, I got to go to Wyoming. I'll pay you when I get back. Well, by the time we got back, most of them had kids.
No, and right after we paid for them.
And we got down there. And it had all these goats. They were multiplying fat like rats. And I said, what about eating a goat? Okay. I lived in Wyoming all my life, and we used to sneer at people that ate goats. You got to be desperate to eat a goat. And anyway, they said, no, you got to try it. So I said, well, there's our meat. So we had a cabrito cook-off.
And we bought the goats so cheap we were able to
eat the kids. Yeah, the goats, we sold some goats. And that paid for all of them. And we still got, now we got generations later, those goats left. They're still blessing us. But God is in a whole different realm, and that's where he wants us to dare to reach to, is this, in this whole different spectrum of reality called faith. It's not like what people say faith is. It's out there.
How many people above 6,000 feet?
I don't know. I like this one. Glenn Smith was on the trail, and he was out in the boonies somewhere, and his pickup ran out of gas, and he had to get to this rodeo to preach or whatever he's doing. He said, now what do I do? And God said, well, go take the cap off that gas can. Yeah, okay. Now stick your finger in there.
In the gas.
He stuck his finger and stood there for a little while. So now what? Now jump in and go to town. So he put the cap back on, jumped in, started the truck up, went to town. Got to town, filled up with gas. You know, but yeah. God just, he can do things through us and with us and to us. He just needs us to cooperate with him. You know, most normally we try to tell him how it needs to happen. As if we really knew. Yeah.
Guitars and they played music, and nobody wanted to go to church to watch the kids, but I did. I said, I wanted to go listen to music. I've never been around Christian music before. And so this guy pulls me out after a session one day, because I was saying in my heart, you know, believing that Jesus was the Lord, not confessing God. Didn't have faith to stand up and say, yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
Going on here. And believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That principle, I mean, as soon as I did it with him, that magic moment,
Yeah.
Anyway, that principle is what God's been, showing me. That's how we're supposed to live. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're saying. We create your world.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I just want to testify and say what you preach is true.
That's how it works.
It's a good word. It's a good word because we need to change and transform ourselves. And it's through believing and confessing before other people.
Yeah.
It's not just, in the closet.
Yeah.
It's believing and confessing to other people. Because when you witness to people, it strengthens your bark, your bark.
Yeah.
And
it plants a seed in them. And then it plants a seed in the next guy. And then pretty soon, all kinds of things are happening.
And I always thought to myself, that guy, was the most crazy Christian I've ever met.
Yeah.
Lend that to another. Sorry, God's good.
We always pray, Lord, help us to be bold. To people, even friends that we know, they don't believe the same way we do.
Let your light shine.
They confess and say things all the time. Like,
no!
But it. That's what our desire is, to be more bolder and not
kind of normal.
And
amen.
Good prayer.
Yeah, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that as we hit the door to the mission field, that we'll be filled with your light and your life and your love. We'll be able to have opportunities to witness to your resurrection and share the love of Jesus with somebody. Father, that we can encourage them. We can sow your seed. They can get born again. Father, we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.